Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, hello, everybody. There you are. You're back again for another episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love because I believe lesser values than love simply slide down into the rabbit hole of BS, as in bait and switch, or however else you may want to calculate it. I am alive to love. Love alone is the credible value of life, and it's the only credible thing that we should embrace and run toward, keep hanging on, because love is the one thing every human being alive is desperately in need of, and it's also the one thing every human being alive can do for another human being. We are each one of us alive to love. So let's get after it, right? I believe that if we short-circuit love, or we marginalize love, or somehow or another we diminish the importance of love, it's because we have had broken definitions of love. I believe we've had an inadequate grasp on the reality of love when we say, yeah, we can love, but anything that comes after love and that says but is usually going to be some revelation of how broken or sidetracked we are from the real, thorough, complete definition of love. I'm convinced most of us have been carrying around incomplete definitions of love. We've been carrying around marginalized definitions of love and expecting it to cover the whole territory of love. It's like saying, hey, tomorrow I want to explore the entire nation of the United States. I'm going to go from coast to coast and border to border tomorrow. No, it's not possible. You couldn't do that in a day. You couldn't do it in a week. You couldn't do it in a month. You might not even be able to do it thoroughly in a full year. You'd have to spend a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of preparation, and you'd also have to have some kind of itinerary developed for yourself. Listen, all of that is to say love cannot be thoroughly explored or understood or defined with just a passing fancy or a sense that, hey, I fell in love once, or I read in the Bible that I should love, and I do my best to love. Those are all fine and good, but they come far, far short of the thorough grasp of love that each one of us desperately needs. We're either going to live together as brothers and sisters, or we're going to die together as fools. That's what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said. But he said, if you want to be great, then you need to be a person whose soul is generated by love. Now, that's another quote from the good Dr. King, and I am here to tell you that, while I'm no doctor, I'm here to tell you that as a pastor of 50 years, I've got some counsel to give folks that I want to make sure you get as much of a grasp on the beauty of love as you possibly can, to understand, to go to the width, the height, the depth, to thoroughly explore it. It's going to take a lifetime. It's going to take all of our living to manage a pursuit and a pilgrimage toward love. I'm always telling people here two things. First of all, get comfortable. Let me invite you into my pastoral study. Let's take a few moments and just talk. I want to give you some counsel and some understanding that I've gained over the many years I've had as a pastor. Get a cup of coffee, get yourself comfortable, let me chat with you. The second thing I tell people is that I'm no perfectionist at love. In fact, I'm far from it. I'm on a pilgrimage of love. I'm reaching for it. I'm practicing love. I'm like a doctor who's still trying to cure the common cold. I'm like a doctor who wants to help those that are caught in a life and death struggle with a disease that medical science hasn't conquered yet. I'm practicing. I'm practicing love the best way I know how. I'm experimenting with means and methods. And yes, they're all based on research. They're based on 50 years of ministry, but they are still incomplete, and it's still a pilgrimage for me. So I make I make no bones about it. I will apologize quickly when somebody says, well, you weren't as loving as you could have been. And I'll say, well, you know what? You're probably right. And so I'm going to learn from my downfalls or my mistakes or my missteps. But I promise you this, my goal is to live a life where my soul is generated by love. I'm alive to love. Today, I want to talk to you about the priorities and the promises of love. The priorities and the promises of love. For every priority, there's a promise that is accompanying it. But let's go through the priorities. Priority of love demands that we pay attention, that we are paying. That's the key word there. It's like writing a check or getting out your debit card and paying for the groceries or paying for your gas at the gas station or paying a bill. You pay attention. Attention is expensive. Attention requires some depth of understanding, some empathy. Paying attention means that if you didn't hear something, you say, please forgive me. I'm sorry I didn't hear that. Yeah, you know, that's a habit a guy like me gets into at 68, and a lot of loud music that I intentionally have listened to over the years, I'm hard of hearing. I get it. My wife will tell you I have selective hearing. Guilty on both charges. But when I am going to pay attention, I'm going to have to say, excuse me, but I didn't hear you clearly. Help me hear you again. To pay attention will cost you something. And that attention, I believe, is a priority of love. Paying attention. Second priority of love is to redefine everything. Oh, yeah, I know. Remember I told you this whole thing of love is not some easy peasy cotton candy, easy cheesy thing. Buckle up, buttercup. Redefine everything. Some folks are just convinced that all I have to do is just hold on to the definitions I've always had my whole life, and I'll be able to thoroughly love everybody. Not so. We love because we gain understanding by redefining life. See, if somebody's hateful, I've come to understand that they're fighting a battle I know nothing about. If somebody is causing me suffering, it's because they're suffering. And out of their suffering, they're duplicating their own suffering. And so I have to come to some terms about believing in that person enough to know that if they weren't suffering, they wouldn't be causing me suffering. I redefine everything so that by living a priority of love, may my soul be generated by love. I'm forced to redefine everything. I redefine a conversation I may have with somebody. Perhaps they simply have never learned better communication skills. I've had my fair share of that. And how do I know that communication skills have to be refined? Because I'm a communicator. Because I've spent my whole life. You know, some crafts people have toolboxes and workshops, and some people that build things have work vehicles and lock boxes where they keep their tools. Listen, my craft, my whole life has been preaching. I keep things in a journal. I keep things in my libraries. But I got to tell you, my number one tool is my mind. It's managing how I define life. And so I've had to work extra hard as a communicator to be careful that I'm communicating well. And if I didn't communicate it the first time, the second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, then patiently I need to ask myself, how can I better communicate, be a better lover with the priority of love by redefining everything. Another priority of love is to build happy boundaries. You see, some folks think love means I'm just going to put up with everything from everybody, and no matter what kind of nastiness they dish out, then I got to put up with it. And I'm talking about consistent nastiness. I'm not talking about an occasional mistake. I'm talking about a lifestyle of mistakes, where they're abusive, where they are intrusive, where you find yourself constantly having to dance around somebody who gobbles up your life and time and your energy and your psychological furnace. They're just constantly in your space. It's okay in love to build happy boundaries, happy boundaries, not angry, not reactive, but happy boundaries, to be able to smile and say, oh, so next time so-and-so shows up in my life, well, then I'm going to manage myself forward to be able to move away from a conversation I don't want to be in with a polite, excuse me, but I have to go. And I don't even have to explain why I have to go. It's just that in my boundaries, I've established some notion that, hey, I have to go. You know, many, many years ago, somebody gave me advice about how as a pastor, I could maneuver folks who were always wanting me to do what they wanted me to do. The person gave me this illustration that they got a call from a committee in their church, and they said, hey, pastor, we have something going on a certain date of the month. Can you come be a part of that project? Pastor said, hang on a second. Let me check my calendar. And he checked his calendar, and the pastor came back and said, oh, well, I'm doing nothing that day. And the person that was asking for the favor said, oh, good, you can be at our program. And the pastor said, no, let me explain that better. I have on my calendar, I'm doing nothing on that day. That's a happy boundary. See what I'm saying? He put on his calendar, do nothing. So you have a ready at hand ability to establish for yourself a boundary that keeps you happy, and honestly, it's going to keep others happy as well. They may not be in an immediate sense happy, but in the long term, they're going to be happier with you because you will have been a more balanced and healthy human being. So the priorities of love are pay attention, redefine everything, build happy boundaries, and the fourth priority of love is to learn how to go places you don't want to go. Oh, go to places you don't want to go. Tom Landry was a great coach of another era. He was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys when they first started, and he stayed on with that task, I think, for the better part of 20, maybe longer, years. And one of the things Tom Landry said, he wrote a book on excellence, and what he said in that book is this: I've learned as a coach to lead people where they don't want to go so they can be what they've always wanted to be. Let me read that again. I've learned to lead people where they don't want to go so they can be what they've always wanted to be. Go where you don't want to go with love. Love will take you into some places where you initially don't want to go because there are some people with whom you've built healthy boundaries that you just don't want to be around them very often. However, if you know how to manage that well, you'll go where you don't want to go, keep your boundaries, and maintain your love in a healthy fashion. I'll give you a secret for me. So when I have an opportunity to talk to somebody on the phone etiquette says that if I call you, well, then it's my prerogative to end the conversation when it is my choice to end it. Meaning, so I call you and say, hey, this is Randy. I have XYZ to talk to you about. So when I'm done with talking with you about XYZ and the person says, isn't there anything else? Then I can say, nope, I'm happy to have had a conversation with you. Have a good day. I got to go. Bye. So when I make the call, then I can end the call. But see, when people call me, it's up to them to end the call. You know, going where you don't want to go just simply means that you know how to maintain your happy boundaries and you can sustain a contact with somebody even when you don't want to go there. But if you go there intentionally, if you take the first step, then you can also take the first step to walk away from that person with whom you need boundaries. All right. Pay attention, redefine everything, build happy boundaries, and go where you don't want to go. And then you will end up being able to live the promises of love. And here are the promises of love. The first promise of love is you're going to live a bigger life. You're going to have more people who are interested in your opinion. If you're a lover, if you love, and I mean genuinely, significantly, functionally, intentionally love, you'll live a bigger life because there will be more people who want to know what you think. And they're also going to want to just be around you. Your life will be bigger because you have learned how to redefine everything. You'll make life bigger for yourself. Others won't have as much of an opportunity to shrink your life if you love first, if you love last, and if you love in between, and it makes your love lasting. It's the first promise of love. It's a bigger life. Promise of love number two is a better life. That's pretty much self-explanatory, isn't it? It's a better life to love. It's a shrunken life. It's a broken life. It's a shattered life. It's a shallow life that is unloving or hateful. But a better life learns that life is short and it's only by love that we grow. And in going back to the priorities of love, if I build boundaries, then I'm less likely to be trapped by people I don't want to be trapped by anymore. It's going to create for me a better and bigger life. My life grows at the speed of my priorities and at the speed of my love. Listen, love was never intended to be easy, but it was never intended to be something that we dodge. If you want a bigger and better life, live love. The third promise of love is that it builds monuments. Oh my, I could set on this for the next half hour, but I don't have that time. You build monuments through love. Because when you are loving, and when you have demonstrated love, and when you have given love, and you have shown love, and you have offered love at every turn in your life, then monuments are everywhere you go. Somebody will say to you somewhere along the line, whether present or future, they'll say, you know, when you said this, you changed my life. When you did that, you made a better day for me. When you showed up, all of my burdens seem to just melt away. Those are monuments. When you know you've made a difference in somebody's life, when you know somebody's life has been made better, when you know somebody has been encouraged or strengthened to just keep going along and never, ever give up. So I know by experience that monuments don't come my way just because somebody else decides to build them for me. I build my own monuments by living out a life of prioritizing my love. And last but not least, promise of love is that it builds momentum. You know what momentum is? Momentum is when an avalanche starts down a mountain, when a half a dozen little snowflakes tumble out of a large precipice. And those little half a dozen snowflakes wouldn't even make a decent snowball, much less an avalanche. But when a half a dozen snowflakes tumble into a wet spot on the side of a crevasse or a cliff, then a half a dozen snowflakes might become several thousand, and then several thousand snowflakes become several hundred thousand, and on until it's trillions upon trillions upon trillions and trillions of snowflakes pulling down a mountain, falling at the speed of gravity, grabbing all of those snowflakes in one colossal thunderous roar. That's momentum. What does the promise of love do for building momentum? It means that every little day, every little moment, every little intention, every little idea, every little moment where I'm polite, where I'm kind, every little snowflake of my love becomes the beginning of a collection of momentum. Mother Teresa said, "We cannot do great things in this life, but we can do small things with great love." That's momentum. Doing small things with great love. Sustaining everyday attention and redefinitions and building happy boundaries. Going where you don't want to go. Builds then the promises of a bigger life, a better life. You build monuments and you gain momentum. That's the whole momentum of this episode. Gain that momentum with every little thing that you know you can do in any given day. It's opening a door for a stranger. It's paying for somebody else's coffee in a service line. It's sustaining attention to people that look like they're having a tough day, and it's looking at them and winking. You know, when you're wearing a mask, it's hard to smile, so you may want to wink and give them a thumbs up. Whatever it may be, what if every one of us decided to live the priorities of love and then gain the promises of love, so that the promise of momentum is gained through every little thing I do? It's how what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, that we live a soul generated by love. He said, you want to be great? Fine. You want to be historic? Fine. Then all you need is to have a soul generated by love, a soul that has its energy, its fuel, that is sustaining inside of it love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. Hate is too great a burden to bear. Love alone is the only burden that we were created to carry in this world and in this life. Coming to the last few minutes here in the No BS Bishop, Alive to Love, and every time we gather, I end with two exercises. It seems to me that by now, those of you who have listened over time know where I'm headed. And if you do, I want you to prepare yourself for these two exercises. And the first one is, it's the most simple and yet most common human exercise. Breathing. You know, I can live without eating for a while. I could even live without sleeping for a while. But after a bit, it's going to catch up to me. But listen to me carefully. You can't live without breathing with real rhythmic attention to your breathing every day. Yeah, I mean, try and just hold your breath for the next, say, 5 minutes. It's not going to happen. You can't do it. Because why? Because we can't live without breathing. And yet, even as we breathe, we need to learn to live in a deeper sense of our breath, to be more aware of it and more grateful for a breath that we can gain. I've watched a few people die in this world. One of them was my own mother. She died of a terrible lung disease, and I watched her suffocate to death. That always spoke to me. If we can breathe and we breathe well, we're going to live well. On the count of three, I want you to take a deep breath to the bottom of your lungs, as deep as you know how and as strong as you can take that breath. On the count of three. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it all the way up against your diaphragm. And exhale. That's an example. Yeah, that doesn't cover your whole day of exercise and breathing, but it's an example. If you would spend 5 minutes every day doing that, just breathing in, hold it deep, and then exhale with gratitude, it lowers your blood pressure, it increases your blood circulation, it gives your heart a chance to kind of still itself and calm itself. Nourishes your body with oxygen all the way to all those fingers and toes that sometimes don't get all the oxygen they're craving. Breathe well. And the second exercise we close with is what I challenge people to do. Oh my, I've done this for years now. And that is to gain eye contact. You know, the old saying was that if you want to be a good business person, you got to make eye contact with somebody, give them a firm handshake. Well, that applies to what I'm saying here. Get a good, solid grip of somebody's eye contact. Look them right in the eye. And say the three words that are the most charmed and magical words in the English language. I love you. We're in too much of a hurry in America. We're in too much of a hurry in our Western civilization. We're too hustle and bustle to slow ourselves down as we should, and especially to slow ourselves down and to say with full contact and intentionality, with eye contact at somebody who may never have heard I love you in their whole life, or maybe they just haven't heard it in a day, in a week, or a month, and without even knowing it, they're starving. When we do that, we're gaining the momentum of changing lives all around us. Say it to somebody with eye contact. I love you. Yep, it's awkward. Yep, it's weird. And oh yes, it's very much worth it. I want you, as if you could see me right now, looking at you through the radio or computer or your device, I want you to hear me say, I love you. That's coming from my heart. That's from a soul generated by love. I know when I come to this broadcast every week that my words need to have the energy, the nuclear fusion of love behind them. My words are not love, they are BS. And I will not live my life in the exercise of BS. I am here to be alive to love. Love alone, for me, is the only credible value for human life. Thank you for being here today, giving me the honor, the pleasure of your time. I trust you gained something today that can give you the steps forward to make your life a better life, to live the promises and the priorities of love. I don't see that there's anything better in life to do than that. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and I'm going to tell you one thing to do, and that's this. Go out there and do something beautiful. Why? Because ugly has been done to death. It's time for us to arise and shine, be the people of love and beauty. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.